Kevin Sullivan is a longtime shareholder and former CEO of Winstead and a member of the firm's real estate and finance practice. His presentation is on the examination of the inter-creditor agreements from the standpoint of the borrower, the senior lender, and the mezzanine lender.
Thank you, Chris. In this politically charged time we're in, I hate to use a politically charged word to start off this little talk, but it seems like it fits. And the word is, as it relates to intercreditor agreements, is they are weird. These are weird agreements. So I'm going to kind of get into why they're so weird and why they can be problematic as we get into this here pretty quick. But just to sort of set the stage, and I know there's a lot of familiarity with most of you all probably with mezzanine lending, but the way you typically come across these intercreditor agreements is if you're involved representing one of the parties in a financing transaction where there's both a senior loan and a mezzanine loan. So maybe three main players in this transaction. You got the senior lender, the mezzanine lender, the owner borrower, and their lawyers, of course. So the intercreditor agreement is the side deal between the senior lender and the mezzanine lender. So that's what we're focusing on in this discussion. The mezzanine lending, you know, the word mezzanine, as I think most of you all know, means in between. It's, I think, Italian for in between. And so first time I ever heard this word related to like in a shopping mall or in an office building, you see that little floor that's kind of like in between the lobby and the next floor, you know, it's the in-between floor. So on real estate financing, this is the in-between source of capital. It's in between traditional debt and equity. It squeezes there in the middle. So it's a higher risk debt than the mortgage debt, than the first lien mortgage debt. It's higher return. The interest rate is inevitably higher. And it's got, you know, in terms of how it looks, these mezzanine loans, they look similar to a senior loan. It's the same, you know, it's a set of loan documents like all of y'all have seen before. It's a note and a loan agreement and guarantees usually, and a normal set of loan documents. There's not a deed of trust, so there is that difference, but pretty similar set of loan documents. The intercreditor agreement is a little bit unique, and this is the reason I call this weird, and this is also the reason why we put on there avoiding lender-on-lender violence. So the intercreditor agreement is normally not an agreement the borrower or the borrower's lawyer even sees. It is a complete behind-the-scenes side deal. And if you can imagine, if you're on the side of the borrower, and we're going to get into this a little bit, it can be a frustrating document because you're marching along toward closing, and then all of a sudden you hear about this problem that you had no visibility on, and it has the potential to derail your closing when everything else is perhaps going well. So that's the weird thing about this one document as opposed to all the other loan documents that you'll be working with, and it really everything else in these transactions. The key to this, I think, and maybe the key to avoiding lender-on-lender violence in these whole things, is to keep in mind the perspectives of everybody. And the senior lender perspective, the way they look at mezzanine financing, so let's go to the next slide here, this will be easier. So let me kind of orient everybody using this. It's easier to do. That green bubble at the bottom is the senior lender. And so that's the provision of capital, just the traditional real estate financing loan. The blue square at the bottom is the mortgage borrower. So that's the normal thing we're all used to. The owner of the mortgage borrower, the owner of the real estate is the mezzanine borrower. And the mezzanine lender is in that green bubble on the other side of that. So you got the two lenders in the green bubbles, the two borrowing entities, you know, these will usually be partnerships, LLCs, something like that, in the two blue squares. Upstream from that is all the owners. So that's the investors, the general partner, those kinds of people. So that's the basic setup. And that's on I think it's like almost the first page in your write-up there. If you got, because we're going to have to move past this slide, but if you want to keep an eye on that, it's helpful sometimes to kind of orient yourself to all the stuff we're going to be talking to.